League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Feeling a little bit defeated. You know, you ever go into an auction and you think you were going to win something, you had your eye on the prize, and then your dreams got crushed? Somehow I managed to lose several auctions over the last week.
Wow, look at you. You're all of a sudden going to auctions all over the place,
well,
huh?
I'm not really going to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ever since we had the Anna and Raven Roadshow, and if you missed it, we had one of our friends who's an expert auctioneer come join us for a week, and he evaluated your items and how much they're worth and all that, and it was great. But there's been a couple auctions that I've been a part of, and I failed miserably at them. And when I say failed miserably, it's I just didn't have enough money to buy the things I wanted to buy.
Well, that's not the same thing as failing. Failing would be you had the money and then you somehow outsmarted yourself or got outsmarted by the system, right?
Well, so the first one was last week. They had the Marilyn Monroe and Hugh Hefner auction. And, you know, I'm an avid Marilyn Monroe fan. And I was at the 1999 Christie's auction of Marilyn Monroe. I was young. My dad came with me. We had $5,000 to buy a dress, which seemed like very much something we could do.
Yeah,
you know?
It seemed reasonable at the time, right?
Because they always trick you. They give like an estimate on how much something is going to sell for.
Right.
And then it sells 100 times more.
Right.
So I can tell you that not a single thing at that auction sold for less than $5,000. We walked away empty handed. And I remember my dad being like, "Don't worry, baby. One day all this stuff is going to come back and you can buy it then." And
right.
I said, "Okay." And here we are 20 something odd years later. And some of the items are coming back. I could not afford a single thing that was auctioned last week.
But, I mean, you were close on some other stuff, too. So I have not had that happen to me. I've had the opposite happen to me. I've won auctions when I was like, dang it.
Right.
Nobody came up and outbid me at the last moment. And then, you know, you're ringing out at the end of the day and you're like, I did not expect to spend $2,000 today. I once won an auction on a cabin, a mountainside cabin, like just minutes from the Canadian border. I mean, this was absolutely beautiful. And you know what? I never even considered who was going to go with me. I had just broken up with my girlfriend. Other people's plans didn't open up. I ended up going by myself.
You went by yourself?
By myself.
Oh, how sad.
It was.
Oh.
It was weird.
Yes.
Yes.
I wouldn't have gone by myself.
The lake was so cold, too. You couldn't even, like, swim in it. It was freezing.
Do you think you were going to get murdered? I would have thought that.
There was a nude camp across the way of the lake, and this is when my eyes were much sharper, and everybody that came running out on that beach looked like Santa Claus. It was not what I expected at all.
No, I can see where that would be disappointing.
Yeah.
But yesterday I lost another auction. So my daughter's elementary school had like the school fundraising auction.
Okay.
So you bid everything online.
Yeah.
So the guidance counselor at the school is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I was like, and one of the things was like to win breakfast with her. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
like,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, she can go in early. She can have breakfast with her and whatever. So I'm bidding and I'm bidding $50, $75, $100.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, and there's 5 minutes left on the clock. And I put in, okay, I'll go to 110.
You figure you got it wrapped up.
Yeah. I'm like, they probably were going to go to 100. And then all of a sudden, they came back at 150.
Oh, and you were like, wait a minute.
And now there's 3 minutes on the clock ticking. And I'm like, do I go over 150 for breakfast?
But with your friend that you could talk to at any time.
Right. But I'm like, and then you start having that internal struggle. You're like, well, it's for the school. It's for a good cause. And then before I knew it, the time went out and it was over. And I lost it again. And I was like, I am a loser when it comes to auctions this past week.
That's what happens. You get distracted and it's done.
Yep. You may have noticed that everywhere you turn lately, there is a tip jar. Or my favorite is when they spin the iPad wheel around towards you and it says tip and then it says like 15, 18, 22% and you have to pick which one you want to leave.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm a business owner. I know that if you are processing Apple payments, credit card payments, it will ask you whether or not you want to ask everybody that. Businesses that you never tipped before, they're putting it on there and they're getting tips. So why not, I guess?
I guess. But it turns out that people are getting really frustrated with this.
Sure.
Joining us, it's Cassandra Happy. She's a Wallet Hub analyst. Cassandra, I know that you did a lot of research on this. What did you find?
So we did a survey of over 210 respondents to see what their views are on tipping right now. And people are really just getting sick of tipping because it's become such a widespread phenomenon beyond just the traditional service roles. Some even being expected to tip at self-checkout machines, which is just insane considering you're not really having that personal interaction that you would think would warrant a tip.
You know, I got to tell you, the first thing that jumped out at me, Anna, was takeout, right? And I know some people by practice, they always tip during takeout, and other people by practice never do. But during the pandemic was really when I got used to this idea of thinking, well, everybody needs a little bit more, right? Or, you know, they're going through a little bit more. So I got used to it, and now it's just carried on since then.
The problem I have with takeout tipping, I mean, even coming from a pizzeria background where my family owns restaurants and we do a lot of takeout pizza, people would leave $2, they would leave $5, and that would feel good, and that would feel fine.
Sure.
But now it's like when you're going to check out, and it says, like, do you want to leave a tip? It's like 15%, 18%, percentage. 20%. You're like, on a takeout? I'm just picking it up. Cassandra, did people find that in general that they were like, that this should go away?
3 in 4 Americans think tipping has become excessive, and 64% see tipping as optional, not mandatory. So those screens that pop up really border that line of whether this is optional or mandatory, because it's really kind of in your face.
What do? We just shut everybody down? We just say no everywhere we go?
Well, it's funny because my family comes from Europe, and in Italy, there's very little tipping, if at all. Like, they're surprised if you leave a tip. And it is very customary, if you leave a tip at all, for it not to exceed 10%. Cassandra, how do you think, based on your research, we get back to that, or should we not?
I think a big part of this has to do with where we're at as far as just paying our service workers a better wage. I think a lot of this comes down to small businesses just trying to make ends meet and make things better for their employees. They may not be able to pay better wages than what the minimum is, which puts them in the position where they want to provide the service, but they don't necessarily have the means to make it beneficial for their employees to hang around. So I think there's a lot more that needs to change on a bigger level as far as paying our service workers a little bit better wage before we can really say, no, let's do away with tipping altogether. But I do think that some of these other places where we're seeing the tipping where we haven't seen it before, they could probably just turn off those tip screens, and consumers would appreciate not having that in their face all the time.
I think I'm just going to scream, Europe rules, in their face, and then walk away.
I don't know if anybody would understand that.
Nobody's going to understand it whatsoever,
no,
but it'll be kind of like, you know, that it'll be that threshold moment for me as I walk out.
Cassandra Happy, she's a Wallet Hub analyst. Thanks so much for explaining all your findings. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
It is a UConn coronation. The Huskies make history. Back-to-back national champions. Number one lives up to the billing. They defeat Purdue 75-60.
And there you have it. March Madness winners, UConn Huskies again, second straight year. Woo!
You know that they have not lost a game in a tournament over the last two seasons. They have not lost a game. One. And they've won by over 20 points minimum.
They're dominant. That's all you can say. They're on a streak. They're, you know, let's just see. I think it'd be really exciting if, you know, they won what, like a few hours ago and already.
Right.
I'm like, it'd be cool if they can go for a three-peat next year.
They go three in a row, right? That's how we are with sports nowadays, right? We always want more, but absolutely fantastic.
My husband, I've never seen him so nervous because if he
if
UConn won last night, which they did, he would win his corporate pool.
Oh, nice.
So he did. So, I mean, I was fast asleep. So who knows? Like, you know, but I wish I was awake to see his reaction.
How can he be the only person in his company that picked UConn? It must have been the combination.
Because
of games,
you have to remember.
Right. They're European. And it worked out well for him. Everybody here seemed to know.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Also, the big news from yesterday, unless you were living under a rock, total solar eclipse happened. And they said that 50% of people that saw the total solar eclipse for the first time would cry. And from all the news reports I've seen, it was all meteorologists that were crying.
Yeah, you know, they were so over the top.
Oh.
I couldn't even put on the broadcast. They were like, we're all sharing in this moment. I'm like, relax, man. I just want to watch this quietly.
This is Al Roker.
There it goes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. There are the beads.
So now here's the thing.
Yeah.
I am, you know, I was not in the direct path of totality.
Correct.
So I put on my glasses. I was in school pickup watching it.
Yeah.
And it was very like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Right.
Yeah. But then there's.
There are the beads. We saw. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Whoa. We got our glasses off right now, Lester, looking at the umbra, and it is just amazing.
I'm like, I think whatever they saw versus what I saw is very, very different.
Oh, look, we can see Venus.
What?
We can see Venus.
Where?
Over there.
Yes.
And Jupiter is to the left.
No.
So we can see Jupiter to the left, Venus to the right. How exciting is this, Doctor?
I mean,
people are freaking out
man. I got out of the car, put them on, watched for a few minutes, and I was like, yeah, I guess I'll go back in the car now.
You were like, this is going to take a long time, right? You were like, this is kind of slower than I thought.
But then I texted my sister-in-law, who was in the path of full totality, and her experience was incredibly different than mine.
Okay.
She was moved. She couldn't believe it. She thought it was incredible, once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I'm like, man, now I get why people traveled. Because even when I was watching like all the reels and the TikToks last night from like Brazil and different places, like,
did they have it in Brazil?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Unless the one I watched is from 10 years ago.
You might have watched an older one or something.
No, I had like 2 million views by the time I saw it.
Okay.
I mean, it was a completely different thing than whatever I saw.
Did they have the same entertainment value in Brazil? I don't know.
It might have been chilly. All I know is that their eclipse was better than my eclipse.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. Teach their own, I guess. Right?
Oh my God, the bees!
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Something driving you nuts? What is it? 1-800-330-9999. Seth.
If you put mustard on your eggs, that is all I need to know about you.
I'm not the person who okays ketchup, but I've seen it more times. I don't think I've ever seen mustard. I suppose you could do mustard with like sausage, but I don't know.
I mean, it's like a hot dog.
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody put mustard on eggs before.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm against it. I think a spicy brown mustard chopped up with some eggs on a roll?
Wait a minute. Now you're creating a whole other food thing. Here, now you're doing something else. You're making a sandwich.
Put some peppers?
Now, if you make a sandwich,
egg and peppers?
You can do kind of anything. I'm a sandwich, you know, believer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you build a sandwich, you know, I'm not the person to tell you what's going on with your sandwich. However, if we are sitting down next to each other at the diner or whatever, and you pull up the spicy yellow and you hit it with a full squirt right there on the eggs next to me, first off, don't get any on me. Don't splatter it. Second off, I don't know what the scent is going to do with my breakfast. That's the only issue I might have.
I might try that.
If I see you across the diner, though, I'm not going to be like, hey, what's wrong with you? That's not me.
Right. Misty, that's all I need to know about you.
If your kid is 21 or over and you're still treating them like children, that's all I need to know about you.
So many people do that. It's funny how now 21 is still considered a kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like 20 years ago.
Well,
not necessarily considered a kid at 21, no.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sound like old or outdated, but I feel like a lot of 21-year-olds, parents still take care of them. They still live at home. They're still in college. They're still under their parents' insurance.
Still making excuses for them.
Right.
Yes.
All of that.
Yeah, there's some coddling going on there.
Yeah, and I say that knowing perfectly well I'll probably be one of those parents, you know, when my daughters get old enough.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, every situation, again, is different, too. There's also some 21-year-olds out there that are running their entire lives and had to do some from a very early age. And that's not fair either.
Yeah. Crystal, that's all I need to know about you.
If you ask your kids for a Starburst and they give you the yellow one, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, this is like, yes, Dakota, my little one, if she's eating something, I'll be like, can mommy have one? And then she will literally give me one goldfish or one French fry. You know, and I'm lucky sometimes to even get that. If she's having chocolate chip cookies, she will give me zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you give somebody one French fry, right? Mm-hmm. Do you give them a big long one, the first, the largest golden one? Or do you give them the one that's like, you know, brown and burnt and it's like, you know, half of it left and it clearly it's been at the bottom of the fry thing for a while?
Depends how old your child is. My older daughter knows, like, don't mess with mommy, because if I give her one that she doesn't want, she's going to put her hand in here immediately.
Okay.
But the little one will try that. She'll go for the littlest one. Or she'll give me, like, the green jelly bean, because she's like, I don't like this flavor. Which, like, the yellow Starburst. Nobody wants the yellow Starburst.
No. Green jelly bean, though. I'm here for that.
I do like orange Starburst, which I know is not a lot of people's favorites. Man, everybody's got something wrong with their house, right?
Oh, man. I, if you called my wife right now, she'll give you a laundry list of stuff.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, Ben and Aaron Napier, they have a show on HGTV called Hometown. What they do is they make affordable, realistic changes to people's houses.
Oh, man, you read the tagline. I mean, they're the couple that comes in and redoes the entire town. Ever since Chip and Joanna left, like, they're the couple on HGTV.
But the difference between Chip and Joanna and these guys is, like, they kind of do it more, from what I understand, subtly. So they do it more affordable, like the normal person would do it. Where, like, I mean, Chip and Joanna, it was like, boom! It was like everything changed. It was like high-end changes for a lot of them.
The only thing that made it affordable for Chip and Joanna, they were like, we're going to buy Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
we're gonna buy this whole town, basically.
Anyway, so they do these home renovations, and, you know, there is a lot of internet trolls that say mean things on the internet. And this is what Aaron said.
But we need to talk about something. Comments on my Instagram have been really not nice. Really rude, some of you guys. Y'all realize we design these houses for people who really live in them. And they really read your comments. You're not hurting my feelings at all. You are being really ugly to the people who are living in these houses.
Why are people so mean?
Why is she in a car or a wind tunnel?
Did she ever get the memo that you never read the comments?
Well, they hear back
from
clients.
You read the comments. You read the comments. Like, I don't care what celebrity you are or anything like that. Every once in a while, you go into the tunnel and you start reading, and they're hurtful and people are mean. And it's true.
Well, you know, you hear a lot about this, too, is because, I mean, they are clients either way, right? Even though it's a TV show, these are actual clients. This happens with other, you know, renovation shows, too. If somebody's unhappy, like, it comes out.
And the truth is, like, they're nitpicking and they're saying things are ugly and they're saying this is broken and they're saying this and they're saying that. And the truth is everybody's got something wrong with their house. My septic is broken. My septic, I got a call from my husband that an alarm was going on in our basement, which FYI, I did not know that septics had alarms.
Right. And, good thing that they did.
Right. We would have no idea. And they had to come install a new pump. Boom.
In my kitchen, there is a drawer that doesn't have a handle on it, because if it had a handle on it, you could not open the oven.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
That's
a real thing that the person that owned the house before me did. That's right. And I have to live with it for now.
Okay.
I mean, I live in the most illegal apartment that you have ever heard of in your entire. I don't have a kitchen. There is no kitchen.
Wait a minute. What?
I have a combination hot plate air fryer, too many fridges, and no kitchen sink.
You're right. I think that is illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's 100% illegal.
There's also no fire alarm. There's a very steep set of stairs that lead up to it, but there's no door in front of the stairs. But the bathroom's right next to it. So if you open the bathroom door, and I have a bungee system set up. So I got the bungee, and I bungee the bathroom door to the front of the thing so that just in case my son, who's 4, should go flying through the, you know, like the apartment itself, but he doesn't go tumbling down the stairs. But you got to remember, when you leave, you got to re-bungee it. Otherwise, there's no way. Now, there's a door at the bottom of the stairs. There is, in fact, an actual door to my home, but that's at the bottom of this very precipitously steep set of stairs.
That reminds me of the first place me and Paul lived a lot.
I feel like those HGTV people need to go to John's apartment. You know, my apartment with me and Rachel is the bathroom. It needs to be recaulked. It needs to be repainted, but because we rent it, you know, the guy who owns the place is like, oh, no, I'll do it or I'll have someone do it. And it's been like 2 months.
Yeah.
No, it's like we
never
keep asking about it. And it's just not getting done.
There's a show on HGTV called Hometown. And the hosts are Ben and Aaron Napier. And what they do is they restore people's houses, right? But they've realized that people are given a lot of hate online, calling people's houses ugly, shouting out everything that's wrong with their houses. Mm.
What's your favorite renovation show? I mean, I like their show. It's all right. I used to love Chip and Joanna. I like the one Flip or whatever.
I don't watch any of them anymore. I feel like I had a time in my life and that time is over.
Yeah. I like the one where, you know, they show the other houses. You could buy this house or here's your house after we renovated it. But I never understand why they pick their own house over and over and over.
That's why
again.
I had to stop watching that show. Why do we call it the options when you know they're going to stay in their house? It doesn't make any sense.
People hate to pack boxes.
That's true. But you know what? Everybody's got something wrong with their house. Why are we picking on these poor people that are part of these shows? 1-800-330-9999. Carolyn, what's wrong with your house right now?
The heat is broken, and the only way to turn it on is using the emergency valve.
Oh, that doesn't sound safe.
No.
I mean, that doesn't sound... I'm not an electrician, but... I've seen an electrician on television before. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in the driveway, in work vehicles.
You
know,
met
that type
them.
Of stuff.
You've met an
I've met them, right. I've talked to them. I could introduce you to one because I think you need one.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, good luck with that. Wish you the best.
Good luck. Bobby, what's wrong with your house?
Well, I recently bought a brand new house, so I figured there'd be no problem, right? Well, when you go through the model homes and you say, wow, look at this open floor plan. It's so open. It's so big. You got this great room and the dining room and the kitchen all right there. Fantastic. Well, you buy it, and then you find out that you sit in that room and everyone can see what you're doing. You have no privacy. It is like, man, can I read a book without someone noticing? Can I scratch anywhere? No, can't do anything.
Right. In theory,
open floor plan.
It was your perfect layout. In practice, now I can't get away with a thing.
Nice for entertaining.
Betsy, what's wrong with your house?
Well, we moved into this brand new house, which is gorgeous. And, you know, we're very excited about it. Couple months in, we realized there's some water leaking in the bathroom. And turns out when they built the house, it's a new development and they were building it really quickly. They drilled the towel rack, like the bar that where you hang the towel in the bathroom. They drilled it on the wrong side of the wall and they drilled right into a sewer line.
Oh my God, that's
so they
a big
had to
mistake.
Come in and demolish our entire, like through the pantry and our kitchen into the bathroom. And we were not able to use this part of our house for like a month.
That's awful.
Yeah. I'd be worried what else they did.
Well, sometimes that new construction.
Yeah.
They do it quick and it looks beautiful. And you move in and you're like, wait a minute, I could hear everything happening in my neighbor's house 3 miles away.
Every one of those lines that's in a wall is supposed to have like a guard. So if they miss that, what else did they miss, right? Did they stab some electrical lines, gas lines? You know what? I don't want to make this worse for you.
No, let's hope that was just it. That one thing.
Sewage in your pantry and downstairs bathroom is enough.
Right. George, how about you? What's wrong with your house you found out after you moved in?
That we have a cat. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, and I asked the real estate agent if the previous owners left their cat, and they said no, that they didn't. But there is a cat that either was just so super smart, I don't know what it was, but it is 100%, you know, at the door, just, here I am, this is my house. So, you know, we just, it's our cat now.
The cat
came with the house. We have a cat.
Right.
I have to trust it. I'm like, okay, this is destiny. This cat is our cat.
So something weird happened, and last week we got this call. Heather, what did you quit? Cold turkey.
This may sound weird to people, but I'm like really affectionate with my cats and dogs, so I kiss them on the lips a lot, and I have one of those kind of devices you put in your mouth and like lick your cat with it. It's like rubber.
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
I looked it up too. Licky brush.
Look at you. You're disturbed. I can see it in your face.
Well, I mean, this is not. I mean, to each his own. This is
they
not
love
something.
It because they feel like it's kind of like that's how they grew up with their mom licking them. You'll notice that they feel like much more at ease because that's how they were born with their mom licking them. And so it really does make a difference.
Where are we going to get a cat to do this?
Sean's brother has a cat. If we send him over there and don't tell his brother just to lick his cat.
It's
I
weird.
Love that idea.
No, I don't know. If you find out that your brother showed up to your house to lick your cat with a weird lick-em cat brush that I bought on Amazon for $14.99.
You know what? You're right. We might not be brothers anymore.
We have to find somebody that, well, Sean, Tell Sean he has to ask his brother if he can go lick his cat.
Sean, you have to ask your brother if you can lick his cat.
No, we'll have a mechanism. We'll have a device.
I mean, you thought the call was the weird part. The weird part is how much energy we put into immediately making sure that this would happen.
So I ordered on Prime the cat licking device that I can't believe is a real thing. And like I said, it cost $14.99. It came next day Prime. Mm. Sean, when you got the lick-em device, what did you think about it?
You know, first of all, it was a lot bigger than I thought it would be. It was my first initial thought. And I was also kind of happy about the distance, like, from your face it is. But
what would you estimate that distance to be? So you put this in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's between you and the cat, obviously, yeah. Or the animal you're going to lick.
Probably like 6 inches away from your face.
Okay. So I mean, that's still relatively close, though.
Yeah.
It's still relatively close.
So I would like to read a couple reviews that I got from Amazon.
Please.
April gave it a 3.0 out of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Really cute idea, but way too big. My husband really enjoys connecting with our cats in this way, but it is huge and heavy. It's really awkward to use because of its size and weight.
I just want to talk to this guy. I just want to talk to this husband and tell him that there's other activities. Okay, what else?
Tabak Attack wrote 1.0 out of 5 stars. Garbage. The material is way too hard for it to be an enjoyable experience for you or your cat. The mouthpiece doesn't fit appropriately to allow you to actually use it as intended. Somehow it managed to be way too small yet overly gigantic at the same time.
That's true.
The cats had looks of sheer terror when we tried to come after them with this.
Oh my gosh.
Even after using it by hand to brush them for a while, it was evident they did not find any aspect of this enjoyable. This maker should be ashamed.
I'm shocked at how upset he is, also that it was not enjoyable for him. I mean, wow.
Have you ever just tried, you know, petting your cat?
Right.
Do you need to lick it?
Why don't you come sit on daddy's lap?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Sean, when you asked your brother for permission to lick his cat, what did he say?
He just said, yeah, not the weirdest thing he's ever heard me say or ask. So he's like, yeah.
He didn't ask for more information?
No.
No?
Not at all. I mean, he's also very aware that, you know, I work with you guys.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, I mean, we do weird bits all the time. So he was just like, no, yeah, you can do it. Why not?
Hey, right. Not for nothing. He had you babysitting for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. All right? It's Ozzy's.
So you think it's okay because he babysits, because hey, Sean babysat.
One hand washes the other. Okay. All right? Yeah. That's it. You're in it together. You're brothers.
So how did it work? Oh, we're going to find out all together. It's coming up next. It all started with this call.
This may sound weird to people, but I'm like really affectionate with my cats and dogs. So I kiss them on the lips a lot. And I have one of those kind of devices you put in your mouth and like lick your cat with it. It's like rubber. You'll notice that they feel like much more at ease because that's how they were born, with their mom licking them. And so it really does make a difference.
It makes a huge difference, apparently. So we went and bought one of these lick-em cat brushes on Amazon for $14.99. And the only person that we could find that we knew had a cat was producer Sean's brother. And Sean, this was you asking your brother.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Can I lick your cat?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that he just agrees.
No hesitation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just like into it.
Maybe he thought I was joking around. I don't know.
All right. So how did it feel to put the apparatus in your mouth?
Weird, because it is like a mouth guard, and some of the reviews like complaining about the size of it. It is very weird. So it's like, I just felt like it was too big for my mouth.
Yeah.
So I had to really figure out how it's going to hold up.
You know what? Let me ask a dumb question here, possibly, but where is it? It's not here right now. Did you burn it? Did you bury it after? I mean, I thought I would have gotten to see it.
No, actually, it's at my house.
Mm. I gave it to him. I said he could keep it after.
I mean, so you did in fact keep it. Okay, proceed.
So I think the plan is I'm going to try to capture him like he's a Pokemon. I'll throw things at him until I get him. Hi, Rex.
How long did it take you to secure the cat? Do you have a good relationship with your brother's cat?
I do. I've known that cat since he was a kitten. I actually helped them get the cat. So the cat knows me very well, doesn't run away from me, loves me. And it was like, we got that cat within seconds.
Okay. So now you've captured the cat.
Mm-hmm.
What's the cat's name?
Rex.
Okay, so now you have Rex. So you're cradling him in your arms.
Yep.
You put the licky brush into your mouth, the apparatus.
Oh, God.
And you prepare yourself to lick. Now, at this point, I believe your brother takes over the camera.
He does.
All right.
Here's Sean putting on the little cat licker. Look at Rex, totally not into this. Uh-oh, look at that. Oh, he's going in.
Your brother.
Yeah.
Color commentary.
Great commentary from Jonathan. Great commentary.
I mean, he's enjoying this maybe more than the cat.
So what happened? Did the cat like when you licked him with the plastic thing?
No.
So how long did you lick him?
For a few times to try to see if it would calm him down, but that cat, like, you know, just did that thing where it just got real stiff and just, like, sat there and then just let go of me.
It was like, I need a reporting agency.
Yeah.
He knew immediately that there was something wrong with the situation. The cat did.
Okay.
And I felt even weirder doing it, you know?
Well, you felt so weird doing it that even though nobody asked you to, you then went to go lick a dog. What dog is this?
This is I did my mom's two dogs. Because, like, listen, you can't just perform a project or like this and like only have like one like little variable here. You need to have multiple. Like, maybe dogs enjoy it more.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's got to be a control group and then another one. And then you had to go to another household because if they had seen you try and lick the cat before, they would have immediately been on guard.
Yep.
You ready, Tucker?
That feels so good. What's he doing, TT? What's he doing?
What?
That's my mom. Yeah.
Your mom. So now your mom really likes the fact that you're licking the dog.
That feels so good. What's he doing, TT? What's he doing?
Did the dog like being licked?
Actually, no.
Oh.
At first you could kind of think that he did, but at one point, I actually did film this. There is one point where, like, when I'm like licking the dog with this thing, he's like snarling, like he's getting mad that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Right. Probably like what is happening right now.
The dog will let you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to put this video up on our Instagram at Anna and Raven so you can see what it looks like when animals get licked with this apparatus.
Is there no attorney representing these animals anywhere?
Because I feel like we've done terrible things to animals.
Right.
Yeah. Dumped Tuesday. 70% of relationships break up in the first year. There's always different kinds of reasons why. Why did you get dumped or why did you break up with somebody? 1-800-330-9999. Dawn, did you get dumped or you broke up with somebody? What happened?
No, something about somebody I dumped.
Okay, what happened?
Well, I was working at a car dealership and everyone's telling them, oh, this guy comes in, delivers parts, he thinks you're really cute, he wants to go out on a date with you, so I'm like, all right, no problem. So we started going out and I was like, this is not going to work, you're just too short.
Oh, you dumped him because he was short?
Really. Yeah, that's a terrible thing, but you can't do somebody shorter than you. It just, I don't know, it doesn't work for me.
It's sad to say, but there's plenty of women that feel the same way, right?
Of course.
Except Zendaya isn't one of them. She thinks that Tom Holland is fantastic.
He's also Tom Holland.
Yeah, he is. But he is 2 inches shorter than her, right? But, you know, right. I mean, your parts delivery guy was not Tom Holland, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But I agree, he's got a great personality.
Right. That is terrible.
But I bet he was a really nice guy to hang out with.
That's the pivot, is that we're going to great personality? I want you to reverse roles here. If I said that, how would we feel?
You know what I've noticed about men that are shorter? They tend to be really good dressers. And I don't know why, but I've just noticed that.
They also have that Napoleon complex.
Yeah, this is enough. This is enough tropes for me. Mm-hmm. You guys have said them all. That's it.
Yeah.
Backing away from this.
They wear scarves a lot.
Like, what? You're making that up. Thanks for the call, Dawn.
It's a real thing. Yeah.
David, what happened? It's Dump Tuesday.
Well, this is actually one where I got dumped. Only about 2 or 3 dates in, so it wasn't the most brutal. But all weekend, she had been talking to me while she was at a bachelorette party with some of her best friends. Mm-hmm. And they were further along in her relationships. And, you know, we're talking about their fiancés, boyfriends, et cetera. So she kept texting me all weekend. And it was really cute. When she was coming back on Sunday, I surprised her by saying, hey, what if I pick you up from the airport and take you for ice cream? Because we didn't get to have a date this weekend like we planned. So I do this. And we have an ice cream. And during the ice cream, she just looks at me. And it's like, why are you so nice? And I said, because I am. And she just didn't talk for a while. But when I finally drop her off, she turns to me and says, hey, I really like you, but there is no way I can reciprocate how nice you are.
Oh.
Just picking me up from the airport like this and getting me ice cream. I'm sorry. There is someone else out there you're going to make very happy.
She dumped you based on the fact that it made her feel guilty that she was not as good of a person.
Or she would not be in the future.
I can relate to that. Don't you think you could relate to that? If somebody is always perfect and always happy and always kind, like Like, I'm like, I have a mean streak. Mm. And, like, I need somebody to be like, relax every once in a while, you know?
I thought I was alone. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been that person. I just wasn't so bold as to say it straight up front and just be like, you know what? You're better than me.
Unless she was lying, and that was like the nicest way to let you down.
She slept with a dancer that weekend, man. Obviously, she hooked up with some of the entertainment, came back and was like, this dude's going to see that I got a canker sore. That's what happened.
Oh, no, that's disgusting.
You dodged a bullet, man. I hope you didn't share spoons at the ice cream place.
That's awful.
That could sneak back up on you years later.
Dump Tuesday. Why did you get dumped, or why did you dump somebody? 1-800-330-9999. Allie.
So this is like a dumping, but also like a divorce story.
Okay.
So how about you're leaving your husband home? You just had a newborn baby. You come home from work thinking that, you know, hey, we're going to have dinner. Let me just pop open the computer. Up pops unbelievable amounts of videos, Skype chats. Clearly the baby wasn't being watched, but other women were getting lots of videos and great shows. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. That's one of those who the hell did I marry situations, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't I get one of those videos at work? I mean,
what? Yeah.
These are solo performances, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Send the videos to your wife. Jeez.
Yeah.
Give me the show.
Did you file immediately?
I didn't file immediately, but I filed about 10 days later. Okay. So.
When you confronted him, what did he say?
Oops.
Well, baby, you know, I just needed some attention.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That stinks.
This is a sticky situation.
Sure is.
Daytime television type thing right here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're doing fine now, obviously, right? So good for you.
Thriving.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Daria, Dump Tuesday, what happened?
Oh, I was dating this guy for, like, I don't know, 3 months. I was super into him, and, like, I had even met his friends. So, like, when a guy introduced me to his friends, I'm like, oh, he really likes me. But we ended up going to the movies. We were supposed to see some, like, action film that he wanted to see. But when we got there, I realized there was this really artistic film. I forget what it was called. It's about tornadoes.
Twister.
What it was called, but it was it wasn't Twister, but it was like, it was indie. And we got to the movie theater and I was like, man, I really want to see this one. And he was like, I want to see this action one. And he was like, you know what, why don't you see that and I'll see this. And I was like, okay. So we went to different movies, and when I got out of my movie, he didn't wait for me or anything. He just left, and like, he ended up texting me and he was like, yeah, we don't have the same taste in movies. I don't think we're going to make it.
That's awful.
You know what, though? I can't tell a lot about people based on the movies that they like or don't like. But to leave you at the movie theater, that's cold.
I mean, when he suggested we see different movies, like right there, you know, like this deal is over. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
How was the movie? Can't even remember its name.
It was fascinating. Yeah. it was weird, but it was good.
Yeah, I loved Helen Hunt. The thing where they drove the truck up there and then opened up the top and then it flew away.
And the cow. But listen, how come anytime anytime we talk about a tornado movie, we automatically assume it's Twister?
That's all there was.
Oh, Wizard of Oz. She could have won to see Wizard of Oz.
There's that too, I guess.
Yeah. It's the only two movies that were ever made about a tornado.
That's it. Twisters is coming out with Glenn Powell. I bet you he takes his shirt off. That's going to be a good one.
Peter, Dump Tuesday. Who got dumped? You or did you dump somebody?
I dumped somebody. Actually, my friend and I both dumped somebody. We were both dating a pair of friends. Mm-hmm. It was like fifth grade. And we went over to talk to them by the basketball court. It was in winter. And we dumped them at the same time because we thought that would be nicer. And then we turned around and walked out into the playground. It was all snowy. And we just kind of walked through the snow to the tree line. Nowhere in mind to go, but we thought it would look cool.
Yeah, without looking back. You can't look back, too, right? You didn't look back, right?
No, of course not. Good. I had to make an exit.
Yeah, you would have gave up all your power if you looked back.
Tag team dumping.
Yeah, and then they both had new boyfriends by the next lunch period.
And so, yeah, that's how it works when you're young.
Thought it was going to be so dramatic, and then, you know, they moved on.
Yeah, and we did not find new girlfriends.
It was embarrassing. I knew it.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Paul and Allie. Allie, what's going on?
Well, I have a one-year-old daughter. This is her first birthday party, and I'm going to make a big deal about it. My mother-in-law, God forbid she's listening, she's a pain in my rump. She has to take over. I'm paying $500 to have this party catered. The cake, the food, the hors d'oeuvres. My mother-in-law thinks that what I am doing is a disgrace. So she's going to come over early before the party starts, make a wreck of my kitchen, and cook all of her Greek food. A one-year-old doesn't like Greek. I don't want Greek. I want what I want, period.
She thinks it's a disgrace that you're having it catered?
Yes, and that I'm not using her graces in the kitchen. And that I'm paying all this money to have it catered. I think that's ridiculous. That's a disgrace.
I mean, some people, they're just frugal. Others, you know, they do get pretty weird about the food and how it's prepared. Paul, what's your side of this?
Well, you know, I try to stay out of this as much as possible, as you can understand. I think it's sort of unreasonable to not allow my mother to come over to do the traditional dishes that she's always made. I have no problem with the catering. It's just that, you know, there should be a compromise. She should be able to come in and make a couple of dishes. She is a very hands-on person, but I think that her heart's in the right place. I think she means well. Don't alienate my mother. You can have both.
Paul, I'm not alienating your mother. What is happening here is she can't just let things be. She can't let me just be the mother. And why can't she make her dishes over at her house? Make two dishes over at her house and then bring them along and sit them alongside everything else.
You heard what she said, though. It's not going to be fresh. It's not going to be, the flavor won't, you won't be able to, you know, enjoy the aroma of the cooking.
Oh, brother. My guests are not coming for aroma. This is a big deal to me.
Okay, Allie, what is it that you want Paul to do? You want him to tell his mom, you're not cooking, you're not coming to my house to prepare all this stuff. We have it covered. Just show up as a guest.
Yes.
Okay.
He should side with me. I am the wife now. He needs to cut the apron strings just a little bit. And that goes in both ways.
I get it with traditional families. I mean, food is a huge part of every gathering with the way that they put it together, right?
Imagine if I had my Italian family, my mom, what she would say if I said I was going to have something catered and we weren't going to cook.
I mean, yeah, that would be difficult to understand. I get it. Grandma wants to do what grandma wants to do. And some, you know, parents, they take quite a bit of pride in that. On the other hand, there are many opportunities for her to do some catering, to do the food for another party. There are plenty of holidays throughout the year. It doesn't have to be the baby's first birthday. If you're paying somebody for catering, one of the things that you're usually paying for is the convenience of the fact that the kitchen is going to be open. There's not going to be a ton of stuff going on in the kitchen. There are people running through it and taking up space. And with mom wanting to come over and do cooking before this party, I mean, what's she going to be there at 8 a.m.? Maybe you're just waking up. Maybe that's not how you envision your day.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing, guys. I subscribe to whatever my mom wants to do. I just let her do it. It's easier like that. But honestly, it's different when it's the woman's mom. So let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Paul, that if your mom's heart is in the right place, she wants to come early in the morning and cook all the stuff on the side. Open up your kitchen and let her do it. It's going to make her happy. It's her granddaughter's first birthday. But they may see Allie's side, too. It's Allie's house. And if this is the party she wants, or she wants it catered and she doesn't want her mother-in-law showing up at 8 a.m., you have to listen to what Allie says. And Paul, you have to have a conversation with your mom about it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Paul and Allie's daughter is turning 1 year old. They have a party plan at the house and they plan to have it catered. She wants to make it as easy as possible so she can enjoy her day. Now, the problem is Allie's mother-in-law definitely disagrees about having it catered. She says that they're Greek and they should make Greek food, and it's part of the culture. You bring all the family over. Like, you can't just bring them pizza that you had catered. You got to cook. So she's offered to come and cook all day in the kitchen that morning leading up, and Allie does not want that.
That is not the plan. That is not what she came up with. It's not the concept that she has. She doesn't want somebody in the kitchen all that early in everybody's way, and she doesn't want to be cleaning up for it after, basically. I mean, I've seen this happen before. Some people, they're very, very strongly tied, obviously, to the food that the family is eating, and some people come to expect that. On the other hand, it's their baby, right?
Right. And Paul says, it's just my mom, the way she is. So if she wants to do it and she wants to cook, just let her come and cook. What's the big deal? Mm. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Mary, whose side are you on?
I'm completely on her side. There's so much to unpack, but you can tell she's already bitter, and her husband is not supporting her, which is ridiculous. She needs to listen up and do what she wants. It is her house. It's her child's birthday. His mother already had his first birthday.
That was her chance to do what she wanted. Now it's the wife's chance. And the mother-in-law can just go ahead and have another party at her house for family if it's so important to her.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Paul and Allie are celebrating their daughter's first birthday, and they're having a big party with all friends and family coming to their home. Here's the problem. Allie had 100% had decided to have it catered. She wants to enjoy the day. She doesn't want to deal with all the cooking. But her mother-in-law is Greek, and she is a traditional Greek, and she wants to cook all the food herself in the kitchen that morning. And Allie is so mad about it.
These type of, you know, power struggles that go on with parties. You would think for family events where you're celebrating, it wouldn't really be a thing. But many of us know that it is a real thing, right? So on the one hand, I mean, I totally feel for Paul's mom. This is a tradition. It's how they celebrate in their family. She wants to do it. On the other hand, Allie seems to feel like if she doesn't set a precedent, this is going to be her whole life.
Right.
And she's made a decision, and she wants everybody to respect that decision. Yeah. It is her daughter. It is their home.
Yeah, it's her decision, but not Paul's, because Paul's like, if that's what my mom wants to do and she wants to come and cook, let her come and cook. It makes her happy. Yeah,
that's marriage.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rich, whose side are you on?
100% on Allie's side. The mom has to understand it's not her role. If she wants to throw her own party for family later and cook it, that's fine. But this is Allie's and Paul's party to throw, and she has to stay away.
I don't know. You don't have to stay away. You just don't have to cook.
Hey, Sandy, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side because, let me tell you, I've been through the same thing with my own mother-in-law. And if you don't set your boundaries early on, this is going to continue for the next 10 years or plus. I would say, yes, allow the mom to bring a dish or two, but if you don't want to dirty your kitchen, which you're eventually going to have to clean up yourself, I think that she has all the right to say so.
And Ann Raven, Nancy, whose side are you on today?
Okay, for years, I was Allie. I had to be in control. I'm a great cook. A great party thrower. Wanted everything perfect. What I've learned now is it's not the food, it's the fellowship. And if the grandma wants to do it, she should allow her to participate and contribute. It's going to make her feel better. It's going to make for a much easier day and future. And just let go and don't try to control everything.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Allie, our audience agreed with you today. It's your home. And Paul, maybe just mentioning to your mom, this wasn't the vision you had for the party. You're having it catered. You're paying a lot of money to have it catered so that you can keep the house clean and you can enjoy the party yourselves. And if she wants to make something at home and bring it out, you are more than happy to display it, but you'd prefer for her not to show up early to cook.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be a tough sell. But maybe what we can do, maybe what we should probably do is say, look, let's come over later. Let's come over later, and we'll enjoy the Greek food at your house and try to avoid it that way. There's got to be a way to fix this. I want to keep the peace here. I'm just as happy either way.
Paul's tactic is do not tell mom, essentially, just diversion. It's just diversion.
Baby's birthday party?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Good luck. You know? All right.
Allie, you got to be happy
Thank
to hear
you.
That.
I am. It's a great idea. We'll tell her the party's later in the day.
No, that's nice. Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over well when she shows up after cake.
Good luck with that.
If anybody else has an issue too, send an email at couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven cash jackpot is $600. Thanks to New Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in 14 days. 5 luxurious scents available online and in stores near you. Corelli, you ready to play?
Yes.
Let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck.
Okay. So Raven is walking out. When that door closes, he's not going to be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready to play and win some money?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let's go. Number one, an 11-year-old gave Bruce Springsteen an absent note from his school for him to sign as a way to skip school the following day. What is the name of Bruce Springsteen's band?
The E Street Band.
Number two, Beyonce's new track with Post Malone, Levi's Jeans, actually boosted the denim stock by 20%. What was Levi's full name?
Levi Strauss.
Number three, My Eyes Hurt was a top trending Google search yesterday because of the eclipse. What does NASA stand for?
National Aeronautical Space Association.
Number four, Morgan Wallen was arrested on 3 counts of felony reckless endangerment Sunday night in downtown Nashville after he allegedly threw a chair off a 6-story roof. He competed on the 6th season of what competition show?
The Voice.
And number five, Pat Sajak's last show on Wheel of Fortune will be on June 7th. Who's going to take his place as host?
Ryan Seacrest.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Not bad, ladies.
Okay. Yo.
4 out of 5.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let's see.
Good.
I do $600.
Yeah, let's see. Number one, an 11-year-old gave Bruce Springsteen an absent note from his school for him to sign as a way to skip school the following day. What is the name of Bruce Springsteen's band?
The E Street Band.
That is right. Number two, Beyonce's new track with Post Malone, Levi's Jeans, actually boosted the denim stock by 20%. What was Levi's full name?
Levi Strauss.
That's right. Number three, My Eyes Hurt was a top trending Google search yesterday because of the eclipse.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, do you know how many people told me they're just going to put their sunglasses on? I'm like, literally, that's every news outlet for a month. That's all they said is don't do that.
You got to do the thing with the hand, too, where you kind of put the hand up. And you go.
You couldn't see it if you didn't have the glasses. Anyway, what does NASA stand for?
National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
That's right. Number four,
Morgan
Wallen was arrested on 3 counts of felony reckless endangerment Sunday night after he allegedly threw a chair off a 6-story roof.
I worry about him, man.
He does a lot of things that keep him in the news for the wrong reasons.
I don't get it, but okay.
He competed on the 6th season of what competition show?
It was The Voice, right?
Yep. And number five, Pat Sajak.
He's so good. I just want to say it. I just don't understand why he's so tortured.
I don't know why
he's literally that good. I'm not even a big country guy, but he is so good.
It doesn't make sense how you keep, I mean, young and making mistakes. It's like Justin Bieber when he was young, I guess.
Yeah, kinda.
But he's not that young. He's like 30.
Right.
Okay. Number five, Pat Sajak's last show on Wheel of Fortune will be on June 7th. Who's going to take his place?
Ryan Seacrest.
All right. I'm sorry, Corelli. He beat you 5-4 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Hey, good game.
Woo! Thank you. My name is Corelli, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt. $700
thank you,
tomorrow,
guys.
Anna.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.